Well, if you have a Bible, please have those final few verses from Romans and chapter 16 open before you. It says in Psalm 19 that the word of the Lord is clean and it's pure. It's clean and it's pure. I don't know about you, but I often feel I'm so bombarded by ugly things. Sinful things, unclean things, especially in the media and social media. Things that are so divisive and full of hate and ugliness and lies. And you feel like it just inevitably it pollutes your heart and your thoughts. But listening to the word of God, clean and pure. When you come to the scriptures or you hear them preached, it's like pure, refreshing water that gets to flow through your mind and your heart and renew you and it washes your thoughts and your desires clean. Listening to the scriptures is like stepping out of a smoke-filled, dingy basement out into clean, fresh mountain air. And I really hope that this past year or so that we've spent listening to Romans has felt like that. Like coming out into sunshine, hearing about all the wonders of God's grace, of his love, that he's given the Son to save us. And Romans has laid out for us God's plan of salvation that takes in the whole world, running through all of history. And we've said a few times that Romans is a bit like the Mount Everest of the Bible. Just like Everest is the highest mountain, as you listen to Romans, it's like we're lifted up and we can look down on everything else in the Bible that's revealed, and we can see that the plan of redemption laid out in front of us, how God has worked in his wisdom and this incredible plan to save us. So I hope it's been like breathing in some fresh air to revive you. Above all, in Romans, the Lord opens up to us the meaning of gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. Good news that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, his death, his resurrection, that is God's plan for the world. That's God's answer for you. It's what you're looking for. And salvation and peace and life and righteousness is given to us in Jesus. So we come this morning to the very end of the letter. This is Paul's final words to the church in Rome. And he ends with a triumphant shout of praise. What we call a doxology, a declaration of praise to God. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. But as is Paul's way, there is so much packed into this, so much content. You know, this few lines are just bursting full with the truth. And in fact, he gives us a kind of summary of the whole letter. All the main themes, the important teaching of Romans are all here. And in fact, if you compare these final few lines with the introduction way back in chapter 1, you'll see it's almost identical, saying the same things, many of the same words. The main subject is the gospel. It's all according to my gospel, Paul says. And so in these closing words, he reminds us of three wonderful truths about the gospel. That the gospel sustains and strengthens us. It's for everyday life. That the gospel is for everyone. The Lord has this grand plan for the whole world. And that the gospel brings glory to God. The final, ultimate purpose and meaning for everything. And so if you look with me at the text, the first point is that the gospel sustains and strengthens us. It's for everyday life. Or to put that simply, the truths of the gospel are our bread and butter. The gospel is what we need to remember every day. So in verse 25, when he begins his prayer of praise to God, he says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." So you hear, he's praising God that he's able to establish us. Establish us according to the gospel. There's a lot there to draw out. Remember, Paul's writing in Greek. And in the Greek, more literally, he says, he praises God who is powerfully able to establish you. The words "to be able" translate a word that has the root meaning of power. It comes from the same word he uses in chapter 1 when he spoke about the gospel as the power of God to salvation. He's saying God has power to establish you. Well, isn't that the heart of the good news? The gospel is God's power. God is able to save. It's about his working, his doing, his providing salvation. God has powerfully done something and intervened in our world that's full of sin and death. The gospel, and this isn't this what he's been saying to us all along? It's not first and foremost about what you've got to do. It's about what God has done. It's not a summons to work harder, improve yourself, or be more religious, as the world understands it. No, it's about God's grace, God's gift. God has acted in Jesus Christ to save us, because we couldn't do it ourselves. He's done it, and the gospel is now for you to receive and to believe. He's powerfully worked to give us the righteousness we need. You remember the early chapters. The argument Paul laid out, and it's utterly convicting. We're all guilty. We're all sinful. We all fail to reach the glory of God. That's the standard. To be good enough to enter the glory of God. None of us can do that. We all fall short. And you remember his main argument? We've all done things that we know are wrong. It's not about comparing yourself to others, but whether you know the law of God and you know what it says is right, or whether from just your own conscience, you know you've done things that are wrong. We all have. We're not righteous with God. We're not on the level. We're not straight with him. But the good news is that God gives us a free gift of righteousness. Puts it in our hands. Everything we need to be in the right with him. The Lord Jesus provided an atonement for sin. To pay off the debt. And then in the new life of his resurrection, he raises us up. Gives us a new beginning, and this is what we receive by faith. Remember the good news we saw? It's justified by faith, declared righteous by faith. It means we're holding out our empty hands and we're receiving this gift. We're believing in him and trusting that what he's done is right. And God counts the righteousness of Christ as ours. His resurrection life flows into us and transforms us. This is the power of God. He is able to save us, even the very worst sinner. But here, specifically, as part of this work, he's able to establish us. So he's saying here that this power is not just about the beginning, if you like, of becoming a Christian. It's about our ongoing daily life. This power strengthens us and sustains us. It's saying God can make you firm in faith, solid and steady, establish. It means strong in the faith. You know the Bible sometimes speak about Christians being like a ship out at sea in a storm, tossed around by the winds and the waves. And I think many Christians feel like that, especially if you're new to being a Christian. You can feel very up and down. You know, your faith seems really strong one day and then it's all over the place the next, and one day you resist temptation and then the next down you go and you feel very up and down. But the good news is that the power of the gospel can establish you. It can make you solid, a steady faith, a strong faith. So when lies and troubles and sorrows buffet us, we're standing strong. He can make us mature in the faith, tempered, able, fruitful. You know, being a Christian is a marathon, not a sprint. So much of being a Christian is about just standing firm, being faithful and persevering and enduring. And the Lord is able to establish, to uphold us. And so how? How does God do that? It's according to my gospel, Paul says. What does he mean? What's he saying? He's saying it's the gospel that does it. And it's as we know the gospel, as we understand it, as the truth of the gospel penetrates in our hearts and gets down deep, that's what establishes. Understanding God's plan, God's way, understanding and knowing it is how you become established. What keeps Christians weak is a failure to understand the gospel. It's vital to know what you believe. And the clearer, the firmer your understanding of what God has done, the more solid your faith will be. Isn't that what Paul has been doing in Romans? You think about these Christians in this early church in Rome. All the issues and struggles they would have had in their lives. Same kinds of day-to-day difficulties we've all got. How does Paul help them? What is it that he knows they need the most? He opens up the gospel. He explains it to them in all its fullness. And he's saying, this is what you most need. Think about it, even in these few verses. All the different ways he describes the gospel. Did you catch that? That verses 25 and 26, what he's really doing in all the phrases there is they're all just different ways of speaking about the gospel. It is the preaching of Jesus Christ. Preaching is heralding, the proclaiming that he's king. That's what that word there means. Declaring he is Lord and exalted. The gospel is the mystery kept secret, now revealed in the scriptures for all nations. Another way of describing it, that it is God's command. It's all opening up to us the fullness of what he's done in Christ and what it means. Now what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is the gospel is not just what you need to know to be saved. It's not just like the entrance door into the Christian life. It's not a once and done thing. It's our bread and butter every day. It's the house we live in. What strengthens and sustains us is coming to the gospel, remembering it, knowing it, going deeper in our understanding every day. You live in a world full of lies. Every day you've got to come back to this truth. Every day you sin. So come back to this glorious good news of redemption. Every day you'll be tested in some way. Come back to this good news of God's love for you. And this is how to be strong in the Lord. If you like, you plant your feet firmly on these great truths and you say, here I stand every day. You know, there's that picture in Psalm 1 that the Bible often uses of a believer being like a tree planted by rivers of water. I like to think of a really big old English oak that's been here for centuries, weathered the storms, and it's still strong and fruitful and providing shade, and you know it's got deep roots. As high as you can see above the earth, it's because its roots must be even deeper under the earth. And that's what you need, brothers and sisters. You need your deep roots in the gospel. Drawing on it, feeding on these wonderful truths every day is how to be an established Christian. But then the second thing Paul reminds us of is that the gospel is for everyone. Everyone. Again, hasn't this been a central part of the message of the book? He says, the gospel is the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. That's a really full statement. That's really loaded with meaning. But maybe the most important word in all of that is all. All nations. Because really, what is Paul saying here? He's saying, well, what he spent much of Romans explaining. That from the beginning, from before the beginning, the Lord's plan has been to save the world. Not just the people of Israel, the Jews, but all nations. All the Gentiles, all the peoples of the earth. Romans has been really taken up with showing us this change between Old Testament and New Testament. Before the coming of Christ in the flesh, throughout the Old Testament, there was, if you like, a time of preparation of God's plan. He set apart one people as his church, Israel. And only they were given the revelation of God. Only they were initiated into the mysteries of God and had the promise of the coming Saviour. Of the Son, who would come and restore creation and redeem us. But to everyone else, to the nations, it was a secret. It was unknown. They were ignorant. They did not know God. There was no hope. They were left in darkness. And now with the coming of Christ, it's all changed. There's an explosion of grace. And that had always been the plan. But now it's at a whole new stage. There's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Of missionary power. Of the gospel going to the nations. All have sinned. All are invited to Jesus Christ. One of the most enjoyable things you could ever do for your faith is do a word study in Romans of the word all. And look how many times that word comes up. Where there's righteousness for all. Mercy for all. That this is the offer to go out to the whole world. This gift. You remember practically that the church in Rome, they were having these difficulties of the Jews and the Gentiles struggling to put this together. Arguing a bit with each other. And Paul's saying, no, it's this one way of salvation. And you're one people. And everyone is welcome. You remember he's going, he's preparing a missionary journey to Spain. That's why he's writing this letter, because he wants the church in Rome to help him. Some of them to come with him. Part of the reason I've wanted to preach through Romans is a bit like Paul's trying to inspire the church to join him in missionary work. But inspired because they'll have a fuller understanding of the gospel. I want you to have that. I want you as a church to go, this gospel is amazing. It's so big. It's so gracious. Let's go share it with people. For you to be inspired like that. And that's what Paul's saying. We're at this glorious point in the plan. It's now all laid open. That Jesus Christ is holding out his hands to the nations, to the world, saying, come to me. That's our mission as a church. I don't believe I would be faithful to the scripture if I didn't then also give all of you that invitation this morning. That the gospel is for you. God is calling you. God is inviting you. He has provided in Jesus Christ. He is able. And it may be that there's some of us here today that you've never yet received this gift. Well, now is the time. You are a sinner in need of forgiveness. You are dying and you are in need of life. You might say, I'm not a sinner. The gospel says you search your conscience. You know you've not always done what is right, even by your own standards. So how much less by the standards of holy God? Are you really ready to die and face him? That's the question. Are you ready? Life is so uncertain and short, as this past year has shown us. So now's the time. Christ is here. He's saying, you come to me. I'll give you life. I will give you forgiveness. I will save. I'll wash you clean. I'll make you right with God. Now is the time for you to believe. Believe he is Lord. Feel that faith rising in your heart. And give yourself to him. Bow down to him as the Saviour. And the good news is you will be welcomed. Again, another wonderful word study. How many times have we heard that word welcome in Romans? You will be welcomed. It says in chapter 10, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's grace waiting. This invitation that Paul is rejoicing and praising God for, it's the exact same thing that you see in all the Gospels. I want you to think about all the people who came to Jesus. All the people he welcomed, all the different sinners with all their problems, traitors, liars, adulterers, violent people. And how our Lord welcomed them, he sat and ate with them, he blessed them. I want you to think of the thief on the cross. He's in his final hours of life. A life full of sin. And he just cries out to Jesus for mercy. And the Lord says, today you will be with me in paradise. So it is never too late to give yourself to Jesus. It's never too late as long as you're alive. Isn't this the glory of the gospel? And if that's for some of us here today, Christ is saying, come. Now's the time. Come. Trust me. This wonderful gospel, it's for all. And so then the final word is that the gospel brings glory to God. God is glorified in saving sinners. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Again, we've heard in Romans a lot about the glory of God. Again, another study. You just go through Romans. Think about all the times the word glory is used. This final word, it's reminding us of the ultimate end, the ultimate goal, meaning and purpose of everything. There's nothing more wonderful than this. There's nothing higher than this. That everything's for the glory of God. Isn't it great that life is not about you or me? That the world doesn't revolve around us. It's not about us. But that at the center is this wonderful, beautiful Creator God. That it's all about Him. And everything is here in order to reveal His glory and His goodness. This is the great purpose of the gospel. This is what it brings us to. To see, to know, to praise the glory. What do we mean by the glory of God? We mean God in Himself is infinitely wonderful. He's perfect in every way. Try and, with the eyes of faith, fix your heart on this morning. He is infinitely wonderful and perfect. He is beautiful and awesome. Beyond our comprehension, in the Lord God, there is the fullness of overflowing infinite life, truth, wisdom, power. He's wholly good. He's just and righteous. Everything that's good and true and beautiful comes from Him. You can never exhaust the depths of how wonderful He is. And He reveals that goodness to us. And we only see a glimpse, but this is His glory. We only see a part, but it's dazzling. It's overwhelming. A bit like, you know, you look at the sun in the sky, perhaps in its full strength at noon, and you're not actually seeing the sun, you're just seeing a ray of light that's coming, but it's so bright, you can't look at it. So it is with the great glory of God. He's so amazing. But He's revealed this glory in Jesus. He's come down to us and shone upon us with this amazing love to save us. So that we can know Him, this great glory. This is the glory that's shining in the gospel. How good God is. So loving. He gave His Son to die for His enemies. So what do we say? We say, to God be the glory. We bow down in worship. We praise Him. We thank Him. We acknowledge this greatness and this goodness. We enjoy it. We bask in the warmth of this life. And we give him all the credit, all the glory of what he's done. And so this is the good news. And this is how we end Romans. We say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what you have spoken to us and revealed in Romans of your great glory in the gospel. And we thank and praise you alone for what you have done for us in mercy. And we pray, Lord, that these truths would be our daily spiritual food, that we would be rooted and grounded in the knowledge of these wonderful things, that you would please establish us firm in the faith. And we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful plan made from before the foundations of the world, that you would redeem lost mankind. And we thank you for the love of Christ, that he stands with his arms open to the world, calling all men to come to him. And if any here today, Lord, are struggling in their heart to find him, please, Lord, shine upon them, presence yourself to them, and grant them the gift of faith. And we thank you, Lord, for your compassion and your love and your goodness and your power revealed to us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.